Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Aaron Smith. I'm the CEO of the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance, and I'm joined by Nancy Bakeman today for our EBA webinar series. And we're really pleased to present the Director of Smart Home Solutions at Samsung, Steve Herbert. And at first, when I was talking to Steve as we were prepping for the call, I thought maybe it was Hebert, but it is not. It is Herbert. So we're really pleased to have Steve with us today. He's going to talk about how EBA builders, net zero energy home builders, can achieve their sustainability goals with energy efficiency products, home automation, and new energy management features, all controlled by one simple app called SmartThings. And I think this is a really timely conversation. As we were getting ready for today's call, I was asking Steve a million questions. So I think all of you are going to have great questions. Please put those in the Q&A section. I'll present those to Steve as they come up. And with that, Steve, please take it away.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. Well, welcome to Smart Home Energy Management for High Performance Home Builders. As mentioned, my name is Steve Herbert, and I'm the Director of Smart Home Solutions for Builders here at Samsung. Today, we're going to cover some fascinating industry trends related to energy. We're going to talk about Samsung's innovative product portfolio, the SmartThings Smart Home Platform, and some new innovations that are coming soon. And we'll close with some Q&A. Let's start with some industry trends. I'm sure all of you have heard about the situation in Texas during the last winter storm, in which the grid failed and some customers were left with some pretty outrageous bills. And while this was a very unique situation, it did put the focus on energy prices and on the resilience of the grid itself. Now, during the crisis, we were introduced to many Texans who rode out the storm relatively well because they had their own source of power, be it solar or a gas-powered generator. And these folks showed everyone that there are real tangible advantages to making your own power. But these homeowners are no longer an anomaly. In the last 2 years, we saw an increase in the number of net zero projects of 26%. Net zero projects, for those who aren't familiar, are projects in which a home is designed to produce as much power as it needs to cover energy consumption in the home. Typically, these homes are powered by solar power and optimize energy efficiency to the highest degree. This trend seems pretty unstoppable, as major production builders even, like Beazer Homes, are committing to producing all of their homes to the standard by 2025. The key factor that will drive adoption of net zero homes are regulations and the subsequent code changes driven by legislation and investment by the government to subsidize renewable energy, such as the California solar mandate, which requires homes to be built with solar power. Another key factor in the growth of net zero homes is due to a fundamental shift in the way homes are being built. Plagued by labor shortages and home prices that are becoming out of reach for new home buyers, the home building industry in the US has seen a shift toward more modular factory-built homes, which can be built to achieve extreme levels of energy efficiency through technologies like structurally insulated panel systems and others. According to some analysts, this shift could result in a market size for these modular homes reaching $157 billion by 2023, which is pretty aggressive growth. This growth is in part being driven by the ascendance of millennials as the largest group of home buyers, with 56% of industry experts surveyed answering that millennials would be the group most likely to invest in a modular home. Let's look at the reasons for this. Millennials are environmentally conscious and seeking energy conservation, open spaces, walking trails, and sustainability in their home choices. So as you can see from the quote above, millennials are a different breed of home buyer and have different priorities than other buyer segments. In a study by the Brookings Institute, researchers found three key pillars of the millennial generation. Millennials believe that one, preservation of the environment and experiences are more important than material and unnecessary things. Two, technology is essential. And three, they value conservation and helping others as much as possible. Home builders should take note of these pillars because these priorities do differ somewhat from previous generations. But as conservation-minded as millennials are, they are also dealing with a number of economic issues, some of which have been brought on by the pandemic. because everyone has spent a lot more time in the home over the last year, there was roughly a 10% increase in spending on energy in the home, calculated during the months from April to July last year, which totaled $60 billion, according to research by the Energy Policy Institute at the University of Chicago. In the study of broadband households by Parks Associates, 30% had high concerns with paying the bills. And as a result of these and other factors related to the pandemic, there was a 20% increase in interest in smart energy solutions. Now that we've discussed the industry trends and consumer perspective, I'd just like to touch on some terminology that's critical for home builders to understand moving forward. These terms are important to any home builder that wants to be to effectively project their commitment to the environment and to energy savings. Energy Star is a certification that all of us are familiar with, which is set by the EPA. Energy Star certification can apply to both products and to an entire home. Energy Star certified homes are typically 10% more efficient than homes built to code and achieve a 20% improvement over the average home. Energy Star has also developed a new specification for energy management in the home called SHEMS, or Smart Home Energy Management System, which will create a new bar for technology platforms like our smart home solution, SmartThings, which contributed to that standard. Net zero is a standard that refers to, as I mentioned before, homes that produce enough energy on average to power the home completely. It requires that the home be optimized for energy savings and come equipped with sufficient renewable power to meet that demand. I speak to builders every day, and I can tell you that the green builders of the last decade are becoming the net zero builders of today, and that this trend applies to all home builders, not just a few startups building a niche product. With the cost of solar power coming down to a level where it's actually less expensive than other power sources, net zero homes won't just be greener, they'll save homeowners a lot of money too. The last standard worth mentioning here is the HERS standard for rating a home's energy performance. A low score is better, and it can be used in the marketing of the home so that homeowners can get a sense for the energy required to operate the home under normal circumstances. Now, before we get into Samsung's solution, I'd like to speak briefly about the evolution we've seen in green building, which has broadened and could now be described as high-performance home building. The reality today is that energy management is not the only metric of a high-performance home. The home must also be connected to make living in it easier and more convenient, and should positively impact the health and wellness of its occupants. For decades now, green builders have focused on building practices, materials, and equipment that reduces energy consumption. They've used better windows, more insulation, reduced air infiltration, used more energy efficient systems, and even increased the thickness of exterior walls. But one area of energy conservation that has been harder to affect has been user behavior. As the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The reality is that solutions to this problem have been elusive. First came programmable thermostats, which were difficult to set, as you all know, and required the user to operate on a set schedule each day, which we no longer really do anymore. Then came smart thermostats, which made setting up energy savings much easier, but only impacted heating and air costs in the home. Now we have smart home systems like SmartThings, which can manage energy savings throughout the entire home with capabilities like geofencing, which determines when people are home or not, independent of a set schedule, and with the opportunity to automate energy saving across the entire home. Smart home connectivity is crucial to making life easier and more convenient, but it also plays a role in creating new forms of value to the homeowner, such as health and wellness. Now, health and wellness seems to be the big buzzword these days, and I can understand why. With the pandemic, we've all spent a lot more time in our homes while also being more present to our own health, both mentally and physically. Smart home systems like SmartThings can impact this in innovative ways, as can many of the products that Samsung produces, and we'll talk about those next. Let's talk about some Samsung products now that can contribute to a high performance home. Samsung can impact these pillars of high performance in three key ways: product innovations, connectivity, and actionable insights. Product innovations include features built into Samsung products like appliances or HVAC systems. Connectivity between devices is provided through SmartThings, which enables devices to act in an automated, coordinated manner. And actionable insights is information that the end user can take action on, or that the system can process further via artificial intelligence. First, let's look at Samsung products from the standpoint of energy efficiency. In 2020, Samsung was proud to receive the 2020 Energy Star Partner of the Year Award for Sustained Excellence for superior contributions to the EPA's Energy Star program. With 100% of dishwashers and front-load washers, 86% of refrigerators, 78% of top-load washer machines, and 54% of dryers meeting Energy Star certification requirements, Samsung has built an unrivaled portfolio of products that save energy purely through their design and innovative features. Here are some examples of energy-saving features that help our appliances meet these high standards. For instance, we offer an eco mode button on our microwaves that conserves power by turning off the display, and an energy saver mode on some fridges that reduces power consumption. Our dishwashers feature auto release doors that automatically open the door at the right moment to circulate air and improve drying performance to save energy. Our dryers feature sensor dry, which automatically optimizes the time and temperature of your drying cycle to protect clothes from heat damage, while also eliminating the need to check your clothes over and over again to see if they're dry, which, as you can imagine, wastes a lot of energy every time you open the door. And our washing machines take advantage of artificial intelligence to set your dial for you automatically based on your usage patterns. And the OptiWatch feature automatically senses soil levels during the washing cycle to determine if more detergent or time is required, optimizing efficiency. With our auto dispense system, you actually only need to fill your detergent drawer every once in a while because the system automatically dispenses just the right amount each time. In combination, these features help you get the cleanest laundry with the least wasted energy. Now, in addition to appliances, Samsung also makes very efficient heating and air systems, which is typically the top energy consuming system in the home. Samsung makes a mini split ductless system that is perfect for high performance home building because it can actually improve both comfort and efficiency without sacrificing either one. And it uses artificial intelligence to learn your routines and smart things to make saving money automatic. Samsung HVAC doesn't use ductwork like most systems in the US, which can leak and lose energy. It uses a variable speed digital inverter compressor to both heat and cool by regulating its power continuously to maintain temperature, making it much more efficient than an analog system where the unit would either be off or on at 100% power. Another feature you won't often see in central HVAC systems is zoning. With Samsung's FreeJoint multi-system, one outdoor unit serves up to 5 indoor units, allowing you to have 5 zones, each with their own temperature set point. This enables you to operate much more efficiently in a less used area of the home while being extra comfy in the rooms where you need it most. As home builders focus more on health and wellness, it's also important to consider some other factors, such as noise and drafts. Samsung HVAC systems are whisper quiet, allowing you to relax without excessive noise pollution, and feature wind-free cooling by letting air escape gently through microscopic holes to avoid cold drafts during gentle cooling. It has an artificial intelligence auto mode, which monitors factors such as indoor temperature, outdoor temperature, set temperature, and operating time to learn the patterns within your home to automatically adjust system operation to maximize occupant comfort and energy efficiency. And because it's connected to SmartThings, users can remotely regulate temperature, adjust settings, receive real-time updates about performance and energy consumption, as well as troubleshoot service issues when repair is required. On the last slide, we began to talk a little bit more about health and wellness, which has become a critical goal in building high-performance homes. The focus on health and wellness in home building has increased during the pandemic, as you can imagine, because we're spending so much more time in our homes. For that reason, buyers are increasingly looking for homes that limit noise, improve sleep and comfort, help keep things clean, and optimize air quality. I know that when I'm in the middle of a Zoom meeting, like we are right now, the last thing that I want is a lot of background noise. Samsung builds noise reduction into all of its appliances, especially our dishwashers, which only produce 39 decibels when running. Because of the pandemic, we've also become more sensitive about cleanliness, both on surfaces like our dishes, our clothes, but also in the air. A clean environment can reduce illness, asthma, and allergies caused by bacteria, pollen, dust mites, and chemicals. Our washing machines use Steam Sanitize Plus to remove 99.9% of germs and bacteria, over 95% of pollen, and 100% of the dust mites that you might accumulate in your laundry. And our robot vacuums keep your floors clean automatically. And you can even automate them through SmartThings so that they don't clean during your Zoom meetings. And lastly, Samsung's Cube air purifier senses when air quality in the home is low, either because of fine dust or VOCs, like volatile organic chemicals, and automatically filters the air for you, helping to alleviate some of those symptoms for allergy and asthma sufferers. Another trend we saw during the pandemic was an increased focus on meal preparation and making healthier meals. People are preparing more meals from scratch now and putting more effort into it, increasing recipe use by 34%. I can attest to this personally. We've definitely been cooking more meals at home. And Samsung appliances like the Family Hub refrigerator really make this easy by automating meal preparation from start to finish. It helps you keep inventory of your food, search recipes, make shopping lists, and order food directly from the grocery store, right on the fridge. And you can even listen to music or watch a movie while you're making dinner. The Family Hub's capabilities were so popular that we decided to add its unique functionality for meal prep into SmartThings itself so that it could coordinate meal prep across multiple appliances, like a range or a microwave. This plugin to the app called SmartThings Cooking recommends recipes that fit your tastes and your dietary restrictions and builds meal prep guides and grocery lists to match. When you're ready, it will automatically send cooking instructions to your microwave or range, like preheat the oven to 400 degrees. If one of those recipes calls for food to be fried, you can also try a healthier alternative in our ranges with our new air fry mode, which uses little to no oil. Now let's talk a little bit about SmartThings. SmartThings is our one app solution for total home control and automation. In addition to our many innovations to make your homes healthier, we also put considerable effort into automating the home, which we are uniquely positioned to do because all of our products are built on the same SmartThings platform, same cloud, same app. This ecosystem, complemented by thousands of devices from other manufacturers, creates an ideal user experience for homeowners who can manage their entire home with ease and flexibility and without any monthly fees. One of the coolest capabilities that result from having all of our products utilize the same cloud and app is that when someone rings your Ring or Nest doorbell camera, you can actually see them directly on your Samsung TV or your Family Hub refrigerator. You can even speak to them through those devices and open the door if you have your hands full. You can even see what's inside your fridge while watching TV in case you want to know if you've run out of beer. Samsung offers a vision of the smart home that's only possible because of our leadership across each of these key product categories. And with over 5,000 devices from over 200 brands integrated with SmartThings, you can automate your entire home end to end, if you were so ambitious. 64 million other people have actually begun that process. SmartThings support for standards like Z-Wave, Zigbee, and Wi-Fi makes it easily scalable and expandable. And it makes it easy for any user to create complex automations with ease and customize them in ways that best fit their lifestyle. With SmartThings, your home will be able to sense and respond to factors like motion, light, sound, temperature, smoke, water, and humidity, and respond by automating changes in various systems like lighting, HVAC, appliances, or locks so that your home performs exactly as you'd like it to. In addition to control and automation, SmartThings offers new services as plugins to the app that add functionality in key areas like meal preparation, as we said, with SmartThings Cooking, finding lost items with SmartThings Find, security and damage protection with Smart Home Monitor, wireless audio with Speaker Companion, and several new services coming soon, which I'll tell you about in a moment. But homes are not islands unto themselves. They are part of larger systems that would benefit through connectivity. SmartThings has the additional benefit of being able to connect to just about any other system through our cloud, which means we can do things like sensing leaks across an entire apartment building or doing our part to create a smarter energy grid. When it comes to energy management, SmartThings already has a number of advanced capabilities and many new ones on the way. Right now, it's easy to create scenes and automations that automatically lower energy consumption in the home. For instance, I created a good night scene for my home that turns off all the lights, locks the doors, and sets my thermostat to my sleep temperature, which uses less energy and helps me sleep a little bit better. In the morning, my lights brighten slowly, using less energy while gently waking me up, and my Rinnai tankless hot water heater begins pumping hot water directly to my shower so I don't have to waste water waiting for the hot water to come out. Although we haven't been leaving the house too much lately, my house also responds automatically to my departure as well, using SmartThings geofencing capabilities. When the system registers that all users, my wife, kids, and myself, have left the house, it knows to change the set point on the thermostat to a more energy efficient temperature, turn off the lights in the house, and shut down other systems as well that we don't need when we're not home. SmartThings enables control whether you're at home or not. So if you leave something on unintentionally, you can shut it off from the app even if you've already left the house. And it allows you to view energy consumption information separately for each individual device or appliance that reports it. Because there are so many systems in the home that SmartThings can connect with, we've created a new plugin service to SmartThings called SmartThings Energy Control, which consolidates energy information and control in one central place. Let's look at what's next. This year, we are launching SmartThings Energy Control. It's the first new capability of this new service in the SmartThings app will be to provide a unified view of energy use in the home so that you can break down energy use for different systems in the home and develop some actionable insights that help you see where you can reduce consumption. SmartThings can already receive energy consumption information from various devices and appliances, but this new interface will give you a holistic view of energy use in the home, allowing you to dig deep into the details over time to see, to get more information, basically. Our appliances and our HVAC systems will both report their energy use into this model, giving consumer insights on two of the systems that use the most energy in your homes. Through partnerships with smart pool controllers, smart water heating, smart plugs and lighting, car charging stations, and energy monitoring devices, SmartThings Energy Control can potentially monitor all energy use in the home. But energy consumption isn't the only thing we'll be able to measure. SmartThings will also import solar production information so that you can see when your home is producing more or less than what it is consuming, giving you even more insights on how to lower your bill. As this service is further developed, SmartThings Energy Control will also make it easier to set up energy-saving automations that can cut energy use across the whole home without requiring a series of complex custom automations needing to be created by the homeowner. Utilities in particular are really interested in this capability because for the longest time now, they've only been able to impact energy savings through the thermostat. Now they can impact energy use across the entire home. Because the SmartThings cloud offers integration potential to any utility, SmartThings can act as the interface between the home and the utility, receiving rate information that allows SmartThings to forecast your monthly bill or compare it to other utility customers, and time of use rate information periods that enable the system to automatically save energy during periods of the day when energy prices are higher, like let's say between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. Time of use rate automation would enable you to automatically defer a load of laundry until after that peak energy rate period ends. Utilities will also be able to operate demand response programs through the SmartThings app, which offers homeowners a low rate every day of the month in exchange for giving up some control over energy during times when energy use is peaking. The SmartThings energy control interface could allow for some configurability there for the home buyer to determine how they save energy during that period. If you are focused on green building or shooting even higher for a net zero energy certification, this will be a great way to introduce to reinforce your brand with a capability that will add new value to your home buyers too. Now, SmartThings Energy Control isn't the only new service that could be launched to create a high-performance home. As I've mentioned previously, Samsung makes the Cube air purifier, which automatically senses air quality and cleans the air accordingly. And SmartThings can integrate with air quality sensors, allowing for automation of air quality in the home. But in Korea in particular, however, SmartThings has taken this a step further with the SmartThings Air plug-in service for SmartThings. SmartThings Air not only considers indoor air quality, but also obtains outdoor air quality information from weather stations nearby and gives you a visual interface to track air quality over time, similar to the energy control system. As we build homes with tighter and tighter air envelopes to increase efficiency, we must more carefully monitor air quality in the home, measuring CO2, humidity, fine particles of dust, and VOCs, volatile organic chemicals. Think about like paint, which off-gasses. To create the optimal environment, SmartThings Air features an air quality concierge that can automate ventilation and air purification systems in the home to maximize air quality while considering outdoor air quality when determining when to ventilate the home with fresh outdoor air. This is a kind of a really cool thing if you think about it. Here in Colorado, we had wildfires this year that were pretty bad. And the outdoor air quality was actually pretty terrible. So it wouldn't have made sense, especially at certain times during the day, to actually have ventilated to that outdoor air. So it's an interesting concept to be able to balance the two. It's in Korea right now. We'd love to bring it to the United States. If this capability is of interest to you, please reach out to me and let's see if we can do something about that in the future. So as you can see, SmartThings has the ability to not only automate and control your home, but to add that additional value in specific areas on top, like energy management and air quality management. So that brings us to the end of our presentation today. I hope you found some of this informative. I hope it sparked some ideas on some innovative ways to leverage our products and our SmartThings ecosystem to create high performance homes that save energy and keep you healthy, maybe make life a little bit easier. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more, you can reach out to us at samsungbuilder.com where you can find a local sales contact near you. Now I'll take some questions if we have any at this point.
Yeah, Steve, fantastic. I'm blown away. I know we had experienced some of your technology with the Ultimate Zen Home. I'm actually standing in the kitchen here virtually with the Samsung products behind us and the induction cooktop on the center island. But I think that with the new things that you're coming out with are absolutely incredible. Can you just explain, I think geofencing is a new term for people, but can you just explain for the lay person how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. I was amazed by this when it first came out, and it's just the handiest thing ever. we all have GPS on our smartphones, right? When you look at a map and you see that blue dot, that's you, that's your GPS location. Your smartphones can relay that information to the SmartThings cloud. So when you set up SmartThings, you give permission for that information to be transmitted to our cloud and into our app. And so that allows SmartThings to know where you are, or any of the users on the system to know where they are as well. And then what it uses that information for is it will then know whether you've crossed into or out of what we call a geofence. You set up a geofence actually right in the app by picking a spot on the map, your home. You can even do it via your home address. And then once you've found your home, you then set a boundary around your home of some distance so that when you cross in and out of that boundary, it acts as a trigger in our home automation system. So that's how it works in a nutshell. And you can do just about anything based on that.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. It's kind of a new term and new technology for us to think about. Steve, what's the installer network, or what's the approach? What subcontractor is going to deploy the technology with builders for the Connected Living product or SmartThings product?
Well, we're happy to work with the contractors that our builders already work with. One of the great things about SmartThings is it's so easy to install and set up that many of these contractors are used to much more complicated, expensive systems to get the same benefits. So we have a number of dealers across the country working with our builders, offering those services to them. And they play an absolutely essential role in making sure that the customer experience is extra, that's, you know, like white glove all the way. Because in my 6 years in doing this with builders, I've noticed that, you know, that last step is crucially important to the way that the user ends up valuing their system. You know, if you set it up for them, give them a taste of how to use it, maybe even set up an automation or two for them and get them off to a great start, they're going to find a lot more value from the system, and they're going to do a lot more with it. As we get into energy management, for instance, may require some additional expertise from an electrician. Some of the energy monitoring devices, which would add value to the SmartThings energy control system, would be these products that go in the breaker panel and can clip on to various circuits within there. That would be one way that you could manage solar production input by simply clipping onto those wires. It would be a way that you could measure the whole home energy consumption. And then, of course, you could also measure individual circuits like the HVAC circuit if we didn't have a direct connection to that information through SmartThings. So when I say you really could do your whole home, you could measure your whole home, you absolutely will be able to do that. Just depending on which systems you have, you know, you can get to it in different ways.
Steve, you and I talked a little bit as we came on about one of the concerns for builders is around helping monitor that home. You know, we've built this incredible net zero energy home for the consumer now, but is there ability within the SmartThings system for the builder to get an alert that, hey, the dryer went down, or the air purification system isn't working, or something like that? Can that be directed back to the builder?
So we haven't developed this model yet for home builders in, let's say, like a single family arrangement, but we're working on it for multifamily builders. Okay. So if you look at the typical multifamily development, you might have 300 individual units, and the property manager would ideally have information on the state of those units. For instance, whether a water leak sensor was tripped in unit 105, you'd want to know that right away. And so the ability for a system within one unit to provide information to another unit is already being worked on. The keys to a solution like that are maintaining privacy and limiting access to information to parties that should not be seeing that information. And so, the technology that we're developing for multifamily can be used in many different contexts. We also have this really cool capability for multifamily that we're launching right now, which is appliance diagnostics. So our appliances have always put out an error code if there's something wrong. And that allows our customer service team to help troubleshoot problems that you might have, let's say with a refrigerator or a dishwasher. This new capability transmits that error code information from an appliance to our cloud, and which we connect to property management systems that these apartment property managers use to manage. And it will actually automatically generate a maintenance ticket. So you'll be able to not only see, oh, there's a problem in unit 105 with the refrigerator, but it will actually try to give you actionable insights that help you understand what might be causing that error. And that would allow you to potentially put the tools, in your bag, so to speak, to fix it on the spot. And that can lead to better, resident experiences as well as more efficiency in your maintenance team.
Right. And I think that I could see that additional case where, there's a warranty on the product. It's Samsung has great warranties that back the product, but oftentimes you turn it over to the homeowner, they forget there's a warranty, they pay somebody to come and fix something that you could have fixed as part of the warranty package, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You see that technology coming to the single family home market in the next period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the future is the opportunities are endless for these technologies. It's really just a function of uncovering that potential. Mm-hmm. Smart home technology is really all about sensing and controlling and automating and learning from what these systems can produce. It can be applied in many vertical industries. One obvious one would be hospitality. You can imagine, the smart hotel room becoming a pretty common thing in the near future. Vacation rentals use smart home technology very extensively, right? Because they provide access control over heating and air. So yeah, it's really interesting to see all the different ways that this will come out. Energy has been, has been a pet project of mine for the last couple of years, because I'm really excited about the potential to take the smart home from the area of convenience and efficiency into something that's bigger and part of a global concern that I think we all need to pay attention to.
Yeah, well said, Steve. What are the best studies, or maybe you have some studies that quantify energy savings or IAQ benefits of the SmartThings platform in some existing homes that you've done?
One interesting study that I would point out was done by a partner on the utility side. And I'm trying to remember the exact stats. I won't quote them here because I can't remember them exactly. But they were looking at how much more energy could you save in a home if you went beyond the thermostat, if you went and you looked at lighting, if you went and you looked at some of these other systems. And that was a study that, once shared with me, really woke me up to the potential of broader energy savings across the home. But they did find that it was very significant. And so I think when you look at the significant energy savings that can come from managing energy across the whole home, and you look at the demand that's going to be on utilities to either have to cut electricity demand or to build new power plants, the business side of it would suggest that it would be cheaper and more efficient to try and cut energy consumption. And so, utilities will be very eager to do that. And so we anticipate that this technology that we're developing, that kind of provides the connective tissue between the utilities and the home, will be an essential part of that solution.
Yeah, and Steve, we're all familiar. Well, I think we're all familiar with the demand load shedding device that you get offered to put on your outdoor air conditioner. And now what you're telling me is that through SmartThings, I could offer that, receive a significant discount from the utility for being willing to shed demand off the grid, which in essence could help prevent a situation like we saw a couple weeks ago, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Load shedding is an important function for the utilities. And, you know, the electricity that they tend to buy during peak demand, which is essentially like, you know, excess energy that they call upon only when they need it, it's actually more expensive for them typically. And it's, you know, often gas fired. So it's not a cleaner source. So, you know, I think limiting that is good for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick question from one of our friends up north. Is this available in Canada? If not, when?
SmartThings is available in Canada. It's a good question on the plugin itself. As I mentioned, right, that some of these services have only been introduced in certain markets. So SmartThings Energy Control has actually been in Korea for some time. It's been in the UK as well. We're now bringing it here and developing it for this market. And, you know, each market has its unique attributes. So I can't say specifically if and when it will be in Canada. That's a great question. I certainly think that it would be appropriate for that market if it's coming to the United States. Shouldn't be too many differences, right? But there could be some that would cause that to come out later.
Yeah. Steve, we didn't talk about this, but I'm assuming you've traveled to South Korea quite a few times. And when I've been to South Korea, I'm always impressed at the technological adoption in South Korea. And a lot of that is from Samsung. What do you see when you go to South Korea? And I think you and I have both seen, even at the hotel rooms, like it's so advanced what they're doing. What do you see going on in South Korea or in Asia in general that we're going to see happen in the United States in relatively short?
So, you know, so like everything, right? It's almost like it's a hotbed of innovation, right? And I don't know if it's a cultural thing where people have just gotten used to wanting the latest and greatest, being ready to pay for it, and having governments support that level of innovation. I think, I mean, their internet connectivity is second to none. It's crazy. The other thing is that, you know, one of the great things about working for a global company is that solutions come from everywhere. You know, in Asia, they actually have a pretty significant problem with air quality. And the reason that SmartThings Air was developed in Korea and has remained in Korea this time is because the Asian markets really badly needed that capability. And people have been very aware of it. And we'll see things like air quality become a more prominent capability here in the US, especially now that we've had the pandemic and people are thinking real hard, and wildfires, right? These wildfires have been really terrible for air quality. We are now absorbing, you know, these issues and contemplating and seeing if we can find solutions for them here in the US.
Yeah. And I'll speak on behalf of EBA, but when you mentioned the SmartThings Air Concierge, I think that would be of high interest to builders across North America and something that that folks would be very interested in. Steve, do they just reach out to you through the SamsungBuilder.com?
Yeah, absolutely. SamsungBuilder.com, you can reach a local sales representative. As you know, we sell appliances throughout the United States. We have a large sales team that's there to help people find just the right appliances for their needs. And in that conversation, that sales representative would be more than happy to connect you to me to talk about the technology side of the solution for sure.
Great. And Steve, how many deployments today across? I'm at the early adoption curve. Is it more than you can count?
Yeah. So in adoption of what specific aspect?
So how many deployments of SmartThings are happening every day? I mean, is it?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, we have 64 million active users globally. So 64 million globally is a very, very large number. Obviously, we've been the number one hub system here in the United States for some time. What people don't realize is that we also sell that hub everywhere across the entire globe. So this is a system that's actually been, it's very reliable, right? Because it's being used by so many people every day. But yeah, you know, in terms of home builders here in the United States, we're being adopted both by the biggest and the smallest. It's kind of interesting, you know, and they each have different needs. And one of the great things about SmartThings and Samsung appliances is that we have this very, very broad portfolio. If you look at our appliances, we have everything from, you know, the base appliances, very, very affordable for like a starter home, all the way up to Decor, which is our luxury brand. And so, you know, when you look at SmartThings, you know, you have an under $100 hub product that is a very, very affordable foundation for a smart home offering. Right. But we also offer integration with Mercedes-Benz now, you know, so on the high end. So it's amazing what you can do with SmartThings. And in fact, if you're a builder that builds all kinds of homes, you don't really have one technology that you would need to adopt, and you can scale it in different ways with different partner products and different Samsung products to create the ultimate solution.
Right.
That
was the really impressive chart to me, Steve, and my time in corporate. I know how difficult those integrations can be because everyone has a little bit different integration package that they need on the API side, right? But I think the integrations that you have are it seemed like just...
Yeah, it seems like they're endless. And if I was to try and give you a list today, it'd be wrong tomorrow because... Right. They happen at such a pace.
Right. So maybe the question to ask you is, it seems like you want to integrate with any product that goes into the house. Is that?
Yeah, fair enough. I think, you know, obviously the ones that add value are the biggest priorities. The ones that people buy most often are the ones that we're most interested in. So we do prioritize. Right now, we're prioritizing a lot of energy-related integrations so that we can pull that kilowatt-hour information into the system directly from the device when possible. And similarly with the utilities, you know, it's like we're working with a number of them right now and trying to figure out how they can actually add value to this solution to the home buyers. As I mentioned, like they understand how much energy you're using over across your whole home, and they know how much energy everybody else is using too. So that gives you the ability to maybe, you know, compare one home to another that helps people provide, you know, information and sort of gamifies it a little bit, makes it a little interesting. Yeah. How many green leaves are we earning today? That sort of thing.
Well, Steve, we've got a great builder. We have Brandon DeYoung on the line with DeYoung Properties. And he actually asked if he could ask you questions. So we're going to have Brandon ask you a question now. Brandon, are you there?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, hear you fine.
What's up, Brandon?
Awesome. Yeah, good to talk to you guys. Yeah, really interesting stuff, Steve. Thanks for the heads up. And, you know, really interesting, you know, how deep into this world you guys are going with this. So it's exciting to see. I guess I have a couple questions, but maybe let's just start with this one. So you kind of just touched on it, the homeowner sort of experience with this. Would you say that the anticipation is that it's sort of like, well, maybe I'll start by saying my experience. My experience is that homeowners generally, you know, some like to get into the nitty gritty, right? And they like to look at the details and, you know, get into the, you know, yeah, the detail side of it, like what is this appliance using and should I turn it off at this time of day? But my experience is that most homeowners just want to set it and forget it. They just want to like not care about it as long as it's all working in the background. You know, yep. They have hot water when they need it. They're comfortable in their home when they're there, et cetera. And then maximizing energy savings, right? And reducing their bill as much as possible. So would you say that the customer experience with this sort of scenario where you sort of do it all, let's say the home has it all packed in, all these connected appliances and lighting, you know, and all that, is the expected customer experience that it's sort of set it and forget it and it's in the background and it's optimizing, you know, their comfort and their needs with reducing energy bills as much as possible? And like, what's that interface like with them? when it's sort of sometimes maybe those things conflict, right? Like, let's say turning all the lights off in the house is what the system assumes they want because they want to optimize and reduce their energy bill. But on the flip side, light is good and they want the lights to be on certain times, right? So they have to there's a manual control that's sort of necessary sometimes there for the system to understand what are their values, what does that particular homeowner want, you know?
Yeah. So I think there's a few stages of the evolution of this capability, right? So the first stage is going to be pulling in the information and presenting it, which is a lot of work by itself because you have to integrate all these systems. You have to come up with an API and an application programming interface that that manages the information flow between the devices. And then you have to be able to present that in a way that allows the homeowner to drill down into that information and really deliver some actionable insights. I know I've had energy monitors in my home before, and you know, if I was to look at like one device at a time, it wouldn't tell me too much. So one of the first capabilities of this is the holistic view of energy use in the home and being able to break it down. I think that's a good first step. The second stage, right, is automating everything, right? And that's when it gets a little trickier. For instance, you know, you have to be able to pull in the time of use rates and the periods from the utility company. But one of the things that obviously SmartThings does extremely well is automation. And we have pretty complex capabilities with regard to that, like conditional logic. So if this happens, do this, but only under these circumstances. And that's why as a platform, we're actually really well positioned to do this properly. But it's a development process. So we're starting with the first phase of it, and we're going to hit that as the next capabilities that we introduce into the product, right? And then the next level up from that, right, is demand response. And I think with demand response, it's very utility specific. And so now you're dealing with individual connectors for each utility that pull in very specific information on like their policies and how they do things and their individual authorization to sign into your utility account to connect the two and things like that. On the automation side, that second phase, I think there's an opportunity here for SmartThings to do what it does really, really well, which is simplify the experience for people. I think, you know, when you get into automations with conditional logic, it does require somebody to sit down and really think through those things and then change them over time and figure out exactly how they want things done. And I think that, you know, the way that I want to see this happen and the way that I would direct this to happen is to make a set of settings that really are going to be appropriate for most people that can be done very much a, you know, click of a button, set it and forget it kind of situation that they can further tweak if they need to. But ideally, this needs to be as easy as possible. If I go back to my example of the programmable thermostat, I mean, we all know how difficult those things were to figure out how to set that schedule, right? And that was the recipe for no one using it. So to your point, I think, you know, as we set up the interface for creating these automations, it's got to be designed for ease of use.
Yeah, definitely agree. And you kind of touched on something I researched for a little while. NREL, National Renewable Energy Lab, has a system they were working on called 4C, which was essentially what the last part of what you were talking about is. It's an interface for the homeowner to sort of, you know, very easily in like a 10 question, little simple yes or no kind of a thing. What are their values? What do they prefer? What do they need? And then the system takes that information and then, you know, automates accordingly. And then you can always go in and edit it, like you said, with, you know, smart thermostats, a similar kind of a thing. Anyway, just wanted to say thanks. Really interesting stuff.
Thanks, Brandon.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Well, I want to thank you so much again, Steve. This was absolutely fantastic. I've already encouraged Steve to put together a presentation for the EBA Summit coming up in September, because I think this is, and you nailed it with your data and kind of the three pillars that you went through. I mean, I think that is key data of what we're thinking about as EBA. What is that millennial customer changing to? They want net zero homes. They want sustainable homes. They want smart homes. And how can we partner with great providers like Samsung to deliver what the consumers want? So really one of my favorite webinars that we've had recently. So thank you for that, Steve, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. And I enjoyed talking to you guys. Thanks very much for your time today.
You bet.